Welcome to the Black Sparrow Media Internet Broadcast Network.
Welcome to the South Cars Conference number 96140. Connection established.
No animals were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Good evening, everyone. This is South Cars. Hope everyone is having a great evening and has had a great day today. This is South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. Information regarding our HF operation may be found at www.southcars.com and for our digital operation at www.voip.southcars.com. Your net control for this session is KC4TXG. My name is Sarah. I'm located in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we have a temperature of 52 degrees and light rain falling. And tonight, our topic for tonight's TNT is SOTA, S-O-T-A, and it stands for Summits on the Air. Let's get started here. SOTA is an award program for radio amateurs and shortwave listeners that encourage portable operation in mountainous areas. SOTA began in the United Kingdom in March of 2002 as the brainchild of John Linford. His call was G3WGV. Early activity was mostly on VHF and UHF FM frequencies, which would be the 70 CM band and the 2 meter band. SOTA has been carefully designed to make participation possible for everyone. There are awards for activators, for those who ascend to the summits of mountains, and for chasers, for those of us who operate from home, a local hilltop, or even activators on other summits. Let me take a break here and see if there's anyone that would like to check in tonight. Anyone anywhere would like to check in, make any comments, ask any questions. Please come aboard with your suffix only.
KC2THO, good evening, Sarah, and to everyone else on the net. I thought we had the CW class tonight. I may be wrong. I guess I am. Please come back. Go ahead.
Well, good evening to you, Tom. No, the CW classes are on Sunday night and Tuesday night, and then there is a code practice on Monday night. Tonight we are having the TNT net. Would you like to come back and make a comment?
Well, I'm recovering. I had something done to me Tuesday. I was shot down for the last 2 days. I still don't feel that great. I have shots in my lower back. And they gave me this medication that makes you fall asleep every 15 minutes. So I was just going to come in and listen, and I'm screwed up with dates and times and days. So that's where I'm at. Sorry I intruded on your net. So I'll get back to you, Sarah. You're the net control for tonight. In fact, I sent Gord a thing, and he said, "What is this?" But that's how it goes. Okay. Thank you. I'm going to listen for a while, and then I have to knock off. Go ahead.
Well, good evening to you, Tom, and hope you get to feeling better, and hope you enjoy the net, and welcome aboard tonight. With that, I'm going to break with you and continue on. SOTA is fully operational in many countries around the world. Each country has its own SOTA association, which defines the recognized summits within that association. Each summit will earn the activators and chasers a score, which is related to the height of the summit, and each summit has a reference number. Each summit is assigned a number of points, somewhere between 1 and 10. In some countries, there is a seasonal bonus of 3 points per summit, which helps out in your scoring and helps move the scoring along. Certificates are awarded for 100 points, 250, 500, and 1,000 points are available. Certificates are available for various scores, and the most prestigious award is the Mountain Goat for 1,000 points, or the Shack Sloth trophies, which is also a highly prestigious award. Certificates are awarded for 100 points and upward, like I have said, mentioned. An honor roll for activators and chasers is maintained at the SOTA online database. I'm going to take a break here, and if there's anyone out there that would like to check in, would like to come aboard and say hello, would like to ask questions or make comments, please come aboard with your suffix only. This is KC4TXG.
Six, Victor.
Net recognizes six, Victor. Good evening, Gordon. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard? Please come aboard now. Hearing nothing, I'm going to call on Gordon, KY6V. Good evening, Gordon. Please come aboard.
Hi there, Duchess of the South. Thank you, Sarah. Gordon, KY6V. Looks like my audio is okay. Had a real rough start. Had some major downloads from Microsoft, and it seemed to confuse the confuser. And I had a little trouble getting started here on time for your net. So the main computer is a little late on the recording. I wonder if you had set up anybody else for recording. I did get my remote computers up in time, I think, and it's recording, so maybe we'll be all right, or we'll have to piece things together. Anyway, just want to tell you I'm here. Hello, Mr. New Jersey. Tom up there. No CW tonight. KY6V. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Gordon. Well, I'm sitting here recording. I started just before I started the net, so hopefully my recording should be complete if everything goes well. So just let you know that in case. And I can put it in Dropbox if I need to. All right, is there anyone else that would like to come aboard with any comments, any questions, just to say hi or just to say hello? Please come aboard with your suffix only. This is KC4TXG. Okay, hearing nothing, let's continue on regarding Summits on the Air. SOTA stations can use a wide selection of operating bands and modes, including 2-meter FM, 2-meter single sideband, HF single sideband, HFCW, and even 10 gigahertz. So if you live close to the mountains, you can have success with a 2-meter FM station and a simple antenna. And let's now talk about some things and some concerns when you're going to activate a SOTA station. Some things that you might be concerned with on the top of a mountain. And one of the things, one of the most important things is the weather. Okay, the weather at the summit and in the valley below is totally different. You can't expect a temperature drop of 2 degrees Celsius for every 300 meters, which is 1,000 feet of ascent. You can expect to double or triple the wind speed, the wind chill, and there is a high degree of changeability on the summit of a mountain. You always, before you go, get the latest forecast, if possible, a local mountain one from the area in which you're headed. In summertime, you need to take precautions to avoid dehydration, sunburn, and even insects attacking you. Watch out for ticks, especially these ticks carry the Lyme disease. In the wintertime, the wind chill is a common enemy, but snow, ice, bad visibility, and short days should all be taken into account. And lightning is something to avoid entirely, and static can shock you and damage your equipment. So when you're going to go and go to climb a mountain to a summit to activate a SOTA station, be prepared in the walking gear and things that you are going to take with you. You need to wear proper outdoor clothing. Footwear should include waterproofs. You need to have a hat or a hood, gloves, plenty of food and drinks, navigational and emergency items, including a map, a whistle, a survival bag, and a first aid kit. A good rucksack and liner, you should carry that with you to help safeguard your radio equipment. You don't want to drop it or bump it. You might not, if something happens, you're not going to be able to set up your station. A small torch, spare batteries, emergency rations, and a survival bag is also needed. Let me take a break here. Okay, pre-plan your route and the direct which way you're going. Advise in writing to a trusted friend to cover the unlikely occurrence of an emergency. Definitely these summits and mountains, they don't necessarily have good phone coverage. So you do need to make arrangements for something of an emergency nature in case something did happen. If you are inexperienced in hill climbing, take an experienced companion with you as you climb this summit. And you need to also research mountain safety. That is very strongly, strongly recommended. I'm going to take another break here, and let's see if there's anyone that would like to check in to say hello, make any comments, ask any questions. Please come aboard now with your suffix only.
Sierra United November.
Net recognizes K6SUN. Good evening, Kathy, and please stand by. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard? Please come aboard now. Hearing nothing. Hey, Kathy, good evening to you, K6SUN. Hope you've had a great day. Please come aboard now.
Well, good evening, Sarah. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. I don't have much of a voice this evening, but it's getting a little bit better. I had an interesting day today, and they go with me every day. But I lost my voice completely earlier today. I didn't think I could talk this evening and was having some connectivity problems as well. But I just did want to say hi to you and thank you for doing the net tonight. Some interesting information, and I want to thank everyone else for joining you. But I'll be probably in the background. Also, I am doing some recording if it lasts that long. And I'll just be listening because I know my voice is going to go. Great program. Thanks again for doing it. Back to you, Sarah, from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Well, thank you, Kathy, for joining in. Rest that voice. You still got another day of school. I guess you still have school tomorrow. So thank goodness it is Friday and the weekend is fast approaching. So with that, I'll clear with you. I'm going to see if there's anyone else that would like to check in. Please come aboard with your suffix only. This is KC4TXG.
Bravo, Juliet Tango.
Net recognizes Bravo, Juliet Tango. Good evening. If you'll stand by for a moment, I'd like to see if there's anyone else that would like to check in. Please come aboard now. This is KC4TXG. Hearing nothing, Net recognizes Bravo, Juliet Tango. Please come aboard with your comments and questions.
Well, good evening, Sarah. Yeah, thanks for the net. Soda is a great subject. I didn't know that was going to be tonight. And I'm interested in learning more about it. This is Rich, KD0BJT. I'm mobile up in Windy, Wyoming tonight. The wind's blowing really hard, probably around 32 degrees or so. But the sun has yet to set here. but it's getting close. Anyway, you know, Brady, my son and I, of course, are both licensed, and we live around a lot of summits, so maybe this will motivate us to go activate a few. Thanks again. KD0BJT, back to net.
Well, good evening to you, Rich, KD0BJT. Hope you and Brady have a good evening there. Sounds like it's awful cold out there. But it has gotten dark here, and it's been misty, rainy all day long, so kind of just a dreary day. Yes, you do live in an area that are, there are lots of mountains, a lot of summits. That would be an interesting thing to do. I love the mountains, and North Carolina has some, but not a great, not near the height that some of those out in your area will be, and that would be some fun if you can climb the mountain. With that, I'm going to clear with you, and we're going to talk a little bit about the radio gear that you're going to take on your trip to the top of the summit. You have to remember that you've got to think about the size, the weight. You remember you're going to be packing this and carrying it up a mountain, climbing the mountain. So the simplest, lightest, and least obtrusive and quickest approach is to take along a VHF or UHF handheld. It's one of the best things for a newcomer to the SOTA is to use a 2-meter FM radio. And that's a good little radio, handheld. Get out there, climb to the summit, and test the water. See if you can make connections. In some cases, you might need a rucksack vertical, which is a freestanding mast, and antenna, such as a half wave, or a modest SOTA beam. There are certain summits from which you will struggle to obtain 4 QSOs. Now, the 4 QSOs, when you activate a summit, you are required to make 4 QSOs in order for that activation to be qualified. The next logical progression as far as radio gear is to use maybe a VHF, single sideband radio, a large beam, a little more power, and possibly an RX preamp. One consideration, an important consideration, is the space requirements needed for the gear that you are using. The sum of these summits are very, very small, and if you're taking along a lot of gear, big antennas, you're not going to have much room for operating your station up on the summit. CW and its gear, with its greater reliability in marginal conditions and or QRP conditions, has grown in SOTA as a result. Some rigs, the radio rigs, they're wide open. It's up to the activator. Depends on what you want to pack or carry. Let me take a minute, please. All right, let's continue on. The VHF, UHF handhelds are the most portable. Most of your, some of your 2-meter rigs are rugged. Some multibanders, which can run 5 watts and claim to be waterproof, are most suited for beginners. An FT-817 and an FT-857 are also good choices for rigs to carry up to the summit. The antennas, a lightweight beam is used by most activators. There are SOTA beams by of Mackley's Field, makes a wide range of these masts that goes with the SOTA beams. And let me take a moment here. For HF, the trend now is toward using homebrew with thin wire and lightweight coax. The most inevitable compromises between weight, bulk, and windage versus performance, durability, and height above ground comes into play when you're considering what antennas and what antenna support are you going to take with you. I'm going to take a break here and see if there's anyone anywhere that would like to check in to say hello, to make any comments and any questions. Please come aboard now. This is KC4 TXG.
Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Romeo Foxtrot Juliet.
Net recognizes Lima Charlie Bravo, and I believe Romeo Foxtrot Juliet. Is that correct?
Got mine right.
Okay, if you'll stand by, I'll be with you in a moment. Net recognizes George. Good evening, George, KW4LCB. Come aboard and give us your comments, please.
Well, good evening, Sarah. Good evening to everyone on the net. Very interesting subject there. You know, I never paid a whole lot of attention as to publicity-wise what you can do on a top of a mountain, you know. We just went up there and did it and played with handhelds. Can be a nice experience there, but you know, as in mountain climbing, I noticed you listed all the gear that one might consider taking there with him to protect himself to whatever the elements may they incur with. But you know, if they spend some time on the ground below that climb there and check the countryside out to get used to what kind of conditions they're going to start encountering there, it's always helpful there. But interesting story there. It's like you know, getting out there and getting started again. Thank you for doing it, KW4 Lima. Charlie Bravo will be sitting here and being your backup tonight.
Well, thank you, George, for coming in. Thank you for being my backup tonight. And very, very good comments there. I like the mountains. I've always liked the mountains, and it's just the ones in North Carolina. And I was surprised when I was looking through different things about SOTA and some of the summits, especially here in North Carolina. There's not been very few, and I really, really very few activations around here on the summits in North Carolina. So that was a big surprise. Let me clear with you and call Romeo Foxtrot Juliet. Please come aboard and with your comments.
Good morning, Sarah. This is Whiskey 4, Romeo Foxtrot Juliet. My name is Roger, and the Admiral and I are heading home to dinner. And I guess the only question I have is, how the heck do you climb a mountain with a Harley Davidson? Just can't get to the board doing that. But anyway, the equipment you had mentioned is probably the best thing to do with you know, backpacking up to the summit. There are a lot of smaller radios available today that give you a very wide frequency capability that you know, you might want to be prepared for. If you're up there for emergency communications, you might need more than just the amateur band. But anyway, that was my comment. Top of the evening, everybody on the net. I know I've been out of commission here for a long time and taking advantage of a night off to spend some time with the Admiral. So back over to net control. This is Whiskey 4 Romeo Fox Juliet, Ridley Park, Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you for coming in, Roger, W4RFJ, and I hope you have a great evening, and you and the Admiral have a good evening there, too. Some of the equipment nowadays, it's a lot smaller, it's a lot more compact, it's a lot more lightweight. You've got multi-band equipment, that excellent things for climbing mountains and carrying and packing in. For the chasers, for those logging, for those spotting, you've got to, I remember I said you've got to make 4 QSOs. And the drill to the QSOs is you need to validate each QSO by giving the SOTA reference number. Each mountain has a reference number. You need to give that. You need to accurately log the call signs and properly exchange your reports. The chasers you work are the ones who could be very important to you in case of an emergency, because that may be your only contact. Because some of these mountains, I know, and around here in North Carolina, the phone service or the cell phone service is not in existence. So it doesn't work up there. So that is very important considerations. So before I go into some four recent SOTA activations that I'd like to tell you about, I'd like to take some check-ins, see if anyone would like to check in, make any comments, ask any questions, or just come aboard to say hello and good evening. Please come aboard now with your suffix only, KC4TXG.
Six, Victor.
Net recognizes six, Victor. Stand by, Gordon. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard?
KJ4AM.
Net recognizes KJ4AM. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard? Please come aboard with your suffix only. Net recognized a key up on the IRLP 7045. If there's anyone out there that would like to come aboard, please try again. This is KC4TXG. Okay, hearing nothing, let's call on Gordon, KY6V. Gordon, please come aboard.
Yeah, thanks, Sarah. Gordon here, KY6V. Want to say hi to Roger and Miss Charlotte and George. And, of course, everybody else that's connected. I didn't hear you mention anything, and maybe you did, about these smaller QRP radios in your handhelds, all battery-powered. You know, if you can have a small hand crank, that's sort of neat to have with you if it'll fit in the backpack. And maybe a couple of extra batteries. If you only have to go after four contacts, I mean, I would think that if you have a fully charged battery in whatever radio you're using, you probably have a pretty good chance. You may be touching on this as you go through the program. I would be interested in how many mountains are actually authorized by SOTA around the world. If you recall, we had an IOTA TNT here a while back, and that's the islands on the air, and I was very, very surprised at the number of items around the islands around the world that were authorized by the organization. And I wonder, too, if there's any association, maybe administration-wise, between SOTA and IOTA. Just curious if you happen to know, Sarah. KY6V, back to net.
Gordon, I don't know that there is any connection with IOTA and SOTA. I'm not so sure of that. Don't think that there is. When I was, I don't know how many summits there are, I was quite surprised to see that there was none in the state of Florida. Surprise, surprise. But there are lots of summits. There's not that great many out here in North Carolina. There are SOTA regions within the United States. The regions are W0, W1, through W, I think, 9. Well, W6, W7 in that area. Several regions within the United States. Now, let's say, and each of the regions have quite a few summits within each region. So I am not sure exactly how many mountains there are out there. I can look that up and get back to you if you would like, KC4TXG.
No, I probably can search that too, Sarah. Thank you. Just thought you might have it right on the tip of your tongue. Look, I want to defend the grand state of Florida since that's where I'm living. We have two mountains down here. We have Sugarloaf Mountain, which is very close to Orlando. It's 316 feet. above sea level. We have another so-called mountain just out of Tallahassee, our capital of Florida, which is really the highest. It's at 326 feet. So we don't starve for any oxygen at that altitude, but we do have a couple of pimples off the ground. KY6V, back to net.
Well, I was looking at Region 4, which includes North Carolina and South Carolina, and there are quite a few summits here in North Carolina, and only 32 summits in the state of South Carolina, which is in the upstate area. Now, you get over here in the mountain regions and the mountain states, there's lots and lots and lots of summits out there. So let's get, let me clear with you, and I'm going to call my next station here, which is KJ4AM. Please come aboard with your comments, questions, or just to say hello. KC4TXG.
Sir, I read that as Oscar Echo Mike, but I may be mistaken. Over.
Well, you're probably correct. My ears might not be working tonight. So KJ4 Oscar Echo Mike, please come aboard. Okay, Net recognizes a couple key-ups from the linking station W4WPA. In Florida, if there's anyone behind that link, please come aboard with your suffix now.
Romeo Fox Juliet with a quick comment.
Romeo Fox Juliet, if you'll hold just a moment. KJ4OEM, if you'd like to come aboard and try one more time, please come aboard now. Okay, hearing nothing, W4 Romeo Foxtrot Juliet. Roger, please come aboard with your quick comment.
Hi, Sarah. Thank you very much. And I wanted to say hello real quick from the Admiral and myself to KY6V in there. And I'm just wondering if I'm going to have to tune in at another date to get that that description on how to climb a mountain with a Harley. Back to tech control, W4RJMobile.
Well, Roger, the only thing that I can tell you is you're going to climb that mountain with a Harley. You're going to have to do it very carefully. Gordon, would you like to come back and talk to Roger a moment, please?
Yeah, hi, Rog. I'm not going to tie the net up, but I'm chuckling. Sarah, I have to explain this rascal. He's a gold wing owner and rider. And there's an ongoing battle between he and Harley drivers. And George, your backup tonight, is a Harley rider. And he was pointing at George, Sarah, KY6V, over.
Thank you, Gordon. In that case, George, KW4LCB, would you like to have a word or two with Roger before we carry on?
Yes, Miss Sarah. Top of the evening to you, KW4 Lima Charlie Bravo. Roger, hope you and the Admiral's doing well. Well, I put it in the text box when you made that a reference there, but you hadn't got to that technology to see it yet, so let me explain it to you. Well, first you get you a big old pine tree. And you bleed that old tar, that old sap coming out of that tree. And then you coat them tires on that Harley. And you watch that sucker climb a mountain. Now, I won't mind throwing you a rope once I get up there to pull that old bucket of bolts up there. But what can I say, my friend? KW4. Lima, Charlie Bravo, always ready to give you a helping hand to get that thing on the road again.
Okay, W4RFJ, I will give you one chance to talk to George.
Well, Sarah, I appreciate that greatly, and I don't want to hold the net up any more than I already have. But as always, it's a great pleasure to hear my good friends Gordon and George down there. Yeah, even though he drives a Harley, I consider him one of my best friends. I can't say that too loud. My neighbors might hear me say that. But top of the evening to everybody. Sarah, you're doing a wonderful job, and thanks for sharing this information. And I'm going to get out of the truck and go listen to the rest of the net inside. You guys carry on. Back to net control. This is W4RFJ Mobile, Ridley Park.
Well, thank you, Roger. W4RFJ in Ridley Park, Pennsylvania. Have a good evening, and have a good Friday. And I'm going to carry on with the our information. I'd like to give some information on some recent SOTA activations, some summits that have been recently activated, and some interesting facts on some. The first summit is the High Top Summit. It is in the state of Virginia, and it is in the Shenandoah Park. The summit is, or the mountain is 1,091 meters high. For this summit, if you make a contact, it is 8 points. And this summit was first activated on the 5th of July in 2011. The most recent activation was on the 28th of January of 2012 by K4ADV. There have been 56 QSOs from this summit on 40-meter bands, 20-meter band, 15-meter band, and the 2-meter band. Most of the QSOs were on the 2-meter band. The second summit that I would like to mention is the Ben Lawyer Summit. It is in central Scotland. It is 1,214 meters high. If you make a QSO with this summit or you climb and activate this summit, it's worth 10 points. The first activation on this summit was the 1st of September 2011. It was recently activated on the 29th of January 2012 by MM3WJZ/P. From the Ben Lawyer Summit, there has been 308 QSOs on 80-meter band, 60-meter band, 40-meter band, 20-meter band, 6 meters, 2 meters, and 70 centimeters. But again, most of the QSOs from the Ben Lawyers has been on the 2-meter band. I'm going to take a break here and see if there's anyone that would like to check in. Anyone that would like to say hello or ask any questions, please come aboard with your suffix only. This is KC4TXG.
I'm sorry, sir. Were you calling for further check-in? Six Vic.
Yes, sir. Would you like to come aboard?
Yeah, if I may. You know, I had the opportunity to let my fingers go through the Yellow Pages. That's the Google search engine. And although I haven't, you know, I'd have to pull a calculator out to add up everything worldwide. But I can tell you that there are over 8,000 official summit sites in the United States. I can tell you that there are 56 active SOTA organizations around the world. I can tell you that Austria has 2,100 official sites. France has 2,600. Norway has 2,100. And South Korea has 2,400. And there was a lot more to write down, but that's enough for you and me right now. Back to net, KY6V.
Thank you, Gordon, for that information. I appreciate that. And with that, I'll see if there's anyone else that would like to check in. Anyone that would like to make any comments or jump in and say hello, please come aboard with your suffix only. KC4TXG.
7YCQ.
Net recognizes 7YCQ. Please come aboard with your comments and questions. This is KC4TXG.
Good evening from Rawlins, Wyoming. It's Kilo 7 Yankee Charlie, Quebec, in Rawlins, Wyoming. Just wanted to say hi to everybody driving down the icy cold streets of Wyoming here, enjoying the sunshine, what there is left of it. And just listening in on you guys, and interesting conversation. Hope to catch you again, because I'm just about destinated at home, but 73 is all, and have a good evening. Back to net, K7YCQ.
Well, good evening to you, and I know there can't be much sunshine left of the day, not out in this late in the evening. Hope you have a great Friday and a great weekend, and appreciate you coming in and checking in with us tonight. The TNT Net is here every Thursday night beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if you'd like to come back and check back in with us, we will be here. With that, I'm going to give some more information on a couple other peaks, summits that have been recently activated. There is a peak called Gale's Peak. It is in the north coastal area of Oregon. It is 555 meters high. It has one point if it's activated or someone with a QSO. There has only been one activation on Gale's Peak, and that was done here the 11th of February, 2012. And there was only 11 QSOs on the 20-meter band on that peak, and that has been the only activation for Gale's Peak. Our last peak that I would like to mention is the Cornell Mountain in Willamette Valley in Oregon. It is 380 meters high. It is for one point. The only activation for this peak is on the 12th of February of 2012, and there were five QSOs on the 2-meter band. So those are some examples of some peaks that have recently been activated, where the QSOs and which bands the QSOs were on. A lot of these were on 2 meters. So they're using a lot of the small handheld 2-meter radios, portable rigs, and would be easy to pack and carry with you to the summits. You can also find a listing of the summits on the web, and the website is the http://www.sotawatch.org. And this will give you a listing of the summits that are available in SOTA. With that, I'm going to take check-ins. Anyone anywhere that would like to check in, come in and say hello, make any further comments. Please come aboard with your suffix only.
India Bravo Victor.
And 6 Victor with a quick question.
Okay, Net recognizes India Bravo Victor and 6 Victor. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard? Please come aboard now. Okay, hearing nothing, I'd like to first call on India Bravo Victor. Please come aboard with your comments.
Good evening, Sarah, and everybody else on the net. Excuse me. Heating some stuff up in the microwave and getting ready to eat, but and just enjoying the net. And I think if I don't know if we've got any SOTA spots in Wisconsin. We've only got the two tallest places in Wisconsin are Rib Mountain and Tim's Hill, which is actually a hill, but it's a little higher than Rib Mountain. So we don't have many mountains in Wisconsin. It's rolling country up where I live, but not a lot of hills, and I don't have anything on HF right now anyway. So, but I'm just enjoying listening to everybody tonight and getting a kick out of the Harley guys and the Goldwing guys prodding each other hi. So, back to you, KL7 Itty Bitty Vertical, Larry in Clintonville, Wisconsin.
Well, good evening to you, Larry. And anyway, I don't know about Wisconsin. I was just looking through some of the list of the summits and don't remember recalling much in the state of Wisconsin. Interesting. Okay, with that, I'm going to clear with you and call on KY6 Victor. Gordon, come aboard, please.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah. And I want to say good evening to the grand state of Wisconsin. Spent a little time up there in my life and enjoyed it very much until I got down to about 30 below zero. And that's the reason I'm now talking from the state of Florida. Sir, I don't know if you've had a chance to research this. I'd be interested, and I suppose I can, you know, I can research it also if you don't have a handy answer. Is it just one point you obtained for all of this effort to get up to whatever altitude you get up to and gain these four contacts in order to qualify, or are there some sites that give you 2 points or 3 points or something? Or is it just one per location, and you just have to add up the locations, I guess is what I wanted to ask. Also, the second question, would you be kind enough when the net is over to put your recording in the Dropbox? And with your permission, I'll compare yours to mine and submit the better of the two to Pete up there in Montreal for editing purposes. Sarah, KY6V, over.
Thank you, Gordon. This is Sarah, KC4TXG. To first answer your question, the summits are assigned points from 1 to 10, and the points are based on the height of that summit. Now, the Ben Lawyer Summit that I talked about in central Scotland has 10 points for that summit. It's 1,214 meters high. It's a very high summit. Some of them, the summits have 1 point, some have 2, 3, and the point values vary. It just depends on the height of the summit, and that's what I have found in my research, that is how the points are awarded. The recording in the Dropbox, I'll put it in your Dropbox after the net tonight, and you can listen to it and compare there whichever is the best for submission to Pete. With that, I'm going to clear with you, and I'm going to ask if there are any other questions, any other comments on SOTA before we continue with the second portion of our program tonight. Anyone out there anywhere, please come aboard now with your suffix only. Okay, hearing nothing, I did not, when I was researching SOTA, I did not find a gracious lot of information. Did find some, and it was very, very interesting. So I put together some ham jargon questions and some fun questions just to see what we know, and so I'm going to give a question, give everyone a chance to come aboard. They can come aboard and say hello, or you can come aboard and answer the question or submit an answer, anything that you would like to do. So my first question is for tonight is, what is a bug? I will repeat. What is a bug? Anyone knows the answer that can come aboard, please come aboard with your suffix only. This is KC4TXG.
Six Victor.
Net recognizes Six Victor. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard with a guess on the question, what is a bug?
Two.
Net recognizes station on the IRLP 7045, but I did not catch your call. Please come back with your call.
YACQ.
I think that is YCQ. If that's correct, please come back and say yes.
Yes. Roger, roger.
Okay. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard with a guess on what is a bug? Please come aboard with your suffix only. Okay. Hearing nothing, I'm going to call Six Victor. Gordon, what's your guess on what is a bug?
Thank you, sir. I'm smiling here. KY6V, Gordon, Central Florida. We've got a lot of bugs down here. I hope you clarified that these were ham-related questions and not the type of critters that we try to exterminate down our neck of the woods. But it's very apropos, you know. We're just winding up our International Morse Code class for 2012 here. We've just got two classes left, and it will be done. We've had an awful lot of fun. A bug is basically a semi-automatic mechanical code key, and it really ties together, at least in history, with a very popular key, which I happen to run myself. It's called a Viberplex. So that's my answer on your bug. KY6V, over.
Okay, thank you, Gordon, for that answer. I'm going to now call K7YCQ. Please come aboard with your answer.
Fine piece of equipment called the Viberplex Bug. They had the Blue Lightning and many other models of it. I own one myself as well, K7YCQ.
Okay, thank you. You're both right. It is a semi-automatic mechanical code key. Most all these questions now tonight, I did not clarify this, but they are going to be amateur radio related. So put your thinking caps on and let's see what we can come up with for answers. The next question is a term for, it's what is a repeater that transmits further than it can receive? In other words, big mouth and small ears. It is also used in reference to a repeater timeout. If you talk on the repeater too long, an internal timer will cut you off, and it will, the jargon for this is something. Also, in contesting circles, it refers to a station whose transmit signal is greater than their receive capability. Does anyone know what this is called? Please come aboard with your suffix only.
Six, Victor.
Net recognizes six, Victor. Is there anyone else that would like to take a guess? Hearing nothing, Gordon, come aboard.
Thanks, Sarah. KY6V. That's an interesting question, because down here in our neck of the woods in Florida, we've got an awful lot of alligators and crocodiles and man-eating creatures. And the repeater that's deaf, it's got a big mouth and small ears. It's called an alligator down here. But thinking about this question, I grew up in California, although I've been here in Florida for a long time. I don't recall a repeater of this ilk called an alligator. I don't know if that's a national saying or not. You might ask Paul that. Be interested in what they do in Wyoming. Go ahead, Sarah, KY6V.
Yes, Gordon is calling alligator. Paul in Wyoming, would you like to give an answer as to if that's what they use for a repeater that has big mouth and small ears? Can you come back with an answer?
I may have had the name wrong on that, but he said he was getting destinated, Sarah, KY6V.
Yeah, he probably has gotten to his destination. Okay, alligator is correct on that one. All right, with that, we're going to go to the next question. And what does the DE stand for in code, in Morse code? The little letters DE stand for. What does it What word is it used for?
I hate to do this again. Six, Victor.
I know you do, so I'm going to let you stand by for a minute, and I'm going to see if anyone else can answer this. If there's anyone else out there, please come aboard with your suffix only.
Bravo, Juliet Tango.
Net recognizes Bravo, Juliet Tango. Rich, stand by. Is there anyone else that would like to give a shot at it? Hearing nothing, Gordon, I'm going to let you stand by for just a minute, and I'm going to let Rich answer this. Rich, come aboard, please, sir.
You bet. First on the one before, I've never heard the term alligator out here. Now that doesn't mean that that's not it. I will say from the people that I know that run repeaters, they're usually on really good spots, up really high. I know Denver sits at 5,200 feet, and there are some repeaters at 12,000 that are like 20 miles away, 12,000 feet. So they can hear an awfully long way. Maybe it's just not a problem out here. But the DE in code stands for This Is, and I believe it's a European language, maybe French, I'm not sure. Anyway, Sarah, back to you. KD0BJT.
Thank you, Rich, for that answer and that comment. Okay, Gordon, I know you know, so I'm going to ask you now. KY6 Victor, come aboard, please.
No, I'm just going to agree with my friend out there that happens to be in Wyoming tonight, but lives in Colorado. Hi, Rich. You know, I just scanned the entire Connect list, Sarah. It stands for This Is. Used in CW primarily. You know, I told you we're just closing our code class, and we had 25 enrollees, 25 participants. And I just scanned the list to see if anyone was connected with us tonight, and I don't see anybody. But any one of those 25 could have answered that question for you, Sarah, because it has been covered. KY6V, over.
Well, thank you, Gordon. You and Rich are both correct, and appreciate you both coming in here and answering this question. With that, I'm going to clear with you. I'm going to go to the next question. And there's a term, and this ham term is used, what hams call the local ham radio dealer. What's that term called, or what is that name? KC4THG.
I'll take a shot. Six Victor.
Okay, and that recognizes Gordon. Anyone else there out there that would like to come aboard, please come aboard now.
I'll try again too. Bravo Juliet Tango. Maybe you should ask Kathy what it is. I don't know. Anyway.
Net recognizes Bravo Juliet Tango. Good evening, Rich. I don't know. Kathy's kind of not got much voice. She kind of lost her voice today, so we're going to let her rest. With that, I'll go to Six Victor. Gordon, come aboard.
Okay, thanks, Sarah. I bet they call it same thing in Colorado. You know, if you abbreviate FCC just a little bit, it's the friendly candy store. It's called a candy store, Sarah. KY6V, over.
Thank you, Gordon, for that guess. Rich, BJT, come aboard with your guess. KC4THG.
Yep, I'll agree with Gordon. That is what we call it out here as well. I might have heard it called a few other things too, but yeah, we have one in town and a couple of elsewhere nearby, and that's the candy store is what we call it. KD0BJT, back to net.
Okay, you both are right. It is called the candy store. There's not one around here in my part of North Carolina. I guess the best candy store closest around is Atlanta, so I really don't know. Okay, we've talked about, a little briefly mentioned IOTA tonight. We talked about SOTA. Okay, what is JOTA, J-O-T-A? What does that stand for? Anyone out there with any guesses? Please come aboard with your suffix now.
One India.
Net recognizes Paul. One India. Please stand by. Is there anyone else out there that would like to have a guess and come in with a guess? Please come aboard with your suffix only.
Sierra United November.
Kathy, Net recognizes you. K6SUN. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard? Okay, hearing no one else, I'm going to call on Paul, WQ1I. Good evening, Paul. Please come aboard with your guest.
Hey, Sarah. Good evening. Good evening, everybody on the net. I've been kind of busy here this evening, but I have been listening, and I thought I would just jump in for a minute here before Gordon's voice ends up sounding like Kathy's, and him being there to answer all the questions. I want to say that's Jamboree, as in a Boy Scout Jamboree. Jamboree on the air. Joda, WQ1I.
Okay, thank you, Paul, for that guest. Kathy, would you like to come aboard with your guest? KC4TXG.
Well, good evening, Sarah. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and you notice my voice is going, and that wasn't a nice comment, Paul. That wasn't nice at all. But I remember when Scott N5HUM, who I know is connected tonight, and I'm surprised he didn't come on board, but I remember, I'm not sure when it is, but it is the Jamboree on the air. He has, I believe, Girl Scouts in his family, and I remember him doing that. So I knew that answer, and I thought I'd come aboard just so you could hear my voice tonight. And I'll turn it back to you. And thanks for the trivia tonight. It's been nice hearing, and I like that comment about the candy store. As far as all the hams or any of us that go in to some place we like to buy things, we always call that the candy store. Back to you, Sarah, KC4TXG from Kilo 6 Sierra United November.
Yep, that is, it is correct. It is the Jamboree on the air. It is an annual event in which about 500,000 scouts and guides all over the world make contact with each other by means of amateur radio. Okay, one more. We talked about IOTA. We talked about SOTA. We talked about JOTA. Now, what is GOTA? G-O-T-A. If anyone has any guess, please come aboard with your suffix only.
V3MEW.
Sierra United November once again.
NET recognizes VE3MEW and K6SUN. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard with a guess? KC4TXG.
All right, Sarah, I have muted IBV, and I'm sorry about that. I'll try and bring him up shortly. I don't think he was keyed up. I heard a dog in the background. Go ahead, Sarah.
Okay, is there anyone else that would like to come aboard with any guesses? KC4TXG. Okay, with that, I'm going to call on my first station, VE3MEW. Bill, good evening to you. Please come aboard with your guess.
Yeah, KC4TXG and Net, good evening, Sarah. My goodness, sorry to hear that Kathy's voice is not too good. I hope it gets better by the weekend. Anyway, yeah, we're quite familiar with GOTA. It stands for Get On the Air. And up here in Peterborough, we set up a GOTA station every year at our annual field day. And the idea is for people to come along under supervision, who may not be licensed amateur radio operators, and this particularly appeals to young people, to get them to sit down and actually talk to someone else in the world somewhere and experience the action of operating the radio. And sometimes it's the hams that have been inactive for a while come along and they want to sit down and have a little practice and a little fun, and sometimes it spurs them to get active and get back on the air and set up their station again. So anyway, it stands for Get On the Air. I'll make one more comment in regards to your alligator phrase there. It's quite common here in this part of the country that when, where I am, that when you time out the repeater and it bites you, we say the alligator got you. And we say that all the time. And there are some long-winded people up here. And we got a brand new repeater here in Peterborough right now. It's just been installed in the last few weeks, and it's a little bit touchy. And people do get bit by it frequently. So there you go. Back to Net from E3MEW.
Okay, thank you, Bill, for that answer and that comment on alligator. that new repeater is quite touchy. I'm sure there'll be plenty of the alligator getting somebody. So with that, I'm going to clear with you, and I'm going to go to Kathy. K6SUN, come aboard, Kathy.
Well, thank you once again, Sarah, and sorry, Bill, about my voice. Hopefully it'll be better by the weekend, because Sarah and I are doing the global on Valentine's Day, so hopefully I'll have my voice, but it must be talking to all those wonderful children at school. But I agree, I would say go on the air, you know, have fun on the air, but get on the air is the correct answer. But Larry, who got muted because he was keyed up, actually put in the text box, goats on the air. But it is get on the air, go on the air, or goats on the air. Whatever you want to go for. But thank you for picking me up. And hopefully, Larry, you caught the text box that you are now unmuted. And maybe you can come aboard. But I enjoyed listening to your puppy dog in the background. Back to you, Sarah. And that's probably my final thing. Otherwise, I will have no voice. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November. Back to our net control, KC4TXG.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you, Bill. That is the correct get on the air. It is a category in the annual ARL Field Day event. Go to stations may be operated by technicians or generally inactive hams under their existing privileges or under the direction of a control operator with appropriate privileges as necessary. Even non-licensed persons may participate under the supervision of an appropriate control operator. Okay, I'm going to call on Larry, KL7IBV, and just see if he would like to make any comments here. Larry, come aboard, please.
Well, first of all, I apologize for that happening. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure what happened because I didn't even have my headset on. I was just listening on the speakers and typing, and somehow or another, I don't know if I hit a certain button or what, but I don't have the space bar turned on for Transnet, so not sure. But anyway, I enjoyed the net very much, and I was just kind of being a smart aleck. I'm known for that around here. You might be able to tell by my phonetics, itty-bitty vertical. But I was just saying, well, goats are pretty smart, so you never know. You know, I mean, if they follow you in the house and you don't pay attention, they may be in your shack, you know, keying up the mic or something. I have known some people who had goats, and they followed them right in the house. So they're almost as bad as cats or horses or anything else. It, when they get following you around, they're pretty nosy. Anyway, we'll turn it back to you, Sarah, and great net tonight. And you you ladies have excellent radio voices both. So. Back to you, Sarah. KL7IBV, actually portable, in Clintonville, Wisconsin.
Well, thank you, Larry, for those comments, and great to hear you in here this evening. Bill mentioned the word, mentioned a comment about alligator. So now let's ask this question, and the next question here is, what is a repeater call that receives further than it can transmit? Big ears, small mouth. What is that called? Anyone with a guess, please come aboard with your suffix only.
Well, if there's a pause, Six Victor will throw a shot at that one.
Itty Bitty Vertical will take a shot at that, too.
Okay, Net recognizes Six Victor and Itty Bitty Vertical. Anyone else with a guess for this question, please come aboard now. Okay, hearing no one, I'm going to call on KY6V. Gordon, come aboard with your guest.
Hey, thanks, Sarah. KY6V here, Gordon. And good evening to you, Larry. Sure nice having you aboard. And I just absolutely love that goat story. Well, I said earlier, when you were addressing this question 180 degrees out of phase, that we down here, because of our population, of alligators and crocodiles and that kind of thing, we call them alligators, and I'm glad to hear that it's somewhat of a semi-national term, and even over the border up there to Canada. Now, on the other hand, I will say this, sir, we don't have any elephants to speak of other than in the circus down here. We've got a couple of circuses, I might add, that keep their winter home here in Florida. But the answer to your question is an elephant. KY6V, back to Net.
Thank you, Gordon, for that answer. And I'm going to clear with you and call on Itty Bitty Vertical. Larry, come aboard with your guest, KC4 TXG.
Yeah, real good. Well, my answer is very, very much in line with Gordon's. I was perhaps thinking a little bit more specifically of Dumbo, because in the cartoon movie, of course, he had such huge ears. So, I'm sure that probably an elephant is probably what they're called. And we do call the other repeaters alligators up here in Wisconsin also. KL7IBV.
Okay, Gordon, both you and Larry are correct. It is an elephant. And that is a repeater that can receive further than it can transmit. In other words, it has big ears and small mouth. All right, our next question is, what does OSCAR stand for? Let's see if anyone can answer that one. Please come aboard with your suffix only.
IBG.
Yeah, sort of quiet out there. 6 Victor.
This is IBV, and I believe I was keying with Gordon, KY6V. Gordon, did you mean to come aboard with a guest?
Yes, ma'am. When it fits, 6 Victor.
Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard with a guest? Okay, hearing nothing, let me call on IBV. Larry, what's your guess to this question?
Well, of course, my first reaction was, well, it stands for O, of course. But then I thought about it for a second and realized, oh, you're probably referring to orbiting satellite carrying amateur radio.
Okay, thank you, Larry, for that guess. I'm going to call on KY6 Victor. Gordon, what's your guess?
No, I stand behind and support our great guy that's joined us tonight up there in Wisconsin. My answer is the same. Sarah, KY6V, over.
Thank you, Gordon. Thank you, Larry. You both are correct. OSCAR does stand for Orbiting Satellite Carrying Amateur Radio. Our next question on the list, what does the abbreviation OTC mean? And I'll repeat that abbreviation, OTC. Anyone with a guess, please come aboard with your suffix only.
I don't want Paul to tell me that I'm going to get hoarse, but 6 Victor, over.
Net recognizes 6 Victor. Is there anyone else that would like to come aboard? Okay, hearing nothing. Gordon, what's your guess for OTC?
Well, you know, I'm not really sure how it came about. KY6V here. You know, a very common term in amateur radio for years and years has been OM, or old man. OTC stands for Old Timers Club. Somebody that has climbed to the top of the summit more times than once. KY6V, back to you, Sarah. Over.
You are correct. It does stand for the Old Timers Club. And the abbreviation OT, which is for old timer, it does mean that someone that has been in ham radio for a very, very long time. Okay, that is correct. Now, let's go on to our next question, and this was an interesting one. What is a rice box? And it's pertaining to ham radio, but what is a rice box? Net recognizes Paul, One India. Is there anyone else that would like to take a shot at this one?
IBV.
Sierra United, November.
Net recognizes Kathy, K6SUN. Anyone else would like to come aboard with a guest? Okay, hearing no one, I'm going to call on One India. Paul, come aboard with your guest.
Hello again, Sarah. And Gordon, your previous answer where you made a comment about my comment, not wanting to get hoarse, that gave me a chuckle, and I needed that. Thank you. a rice box, Sarah, I believe, is a reference to a radio which is made in Japan. At least that's what I've heard. WQ1I.
Okay, thank you, Paul, WQ1I, for that answer. My second station is Larry, IBV. Please come aboard with your guest.
Well, I would say that I agree with that because it's very similar to what a Harley driver would call a Goldwing, which is a rice grinder. KL7IBV.
Thank you, Larry, for that answer. And lastly, we're going to call on Kathy, K6SUN. Come aboard, Kathy, with your answer.
Well, this is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I first, Larry, have to tell you that was really cute, and I'm waiting to see what Paul is going to say. But, Larry, I thank you for your comment about the ladies, and I hope that you'll join us for our global. Sarah and I will be a co-host doing a Valentine's Day special, but it's not only Valentine's Day. We're going to talk about a lot of things like the massacre and different things. So hopefully you'll join us for that. We enjoy doing it together usually. But as a history teacher, I know that rice is pretty much eaten in the Orient, and I will sort of add that to Paul's comment, the Orient as well as Japan. So I would say Japan, China, or anything in the Orient, because, you know, that's what they survive on is rice. So I just wanted to make that comment, but probably my last, because I'm, like I said, losing my voice. But I'm waiting to see the comment from Paul, Sarah, to Larry about the motorcycle. So hopefully you'll call both of them to see what they are going to respond to. Sarah, thanks once again for doing the net, and thanks for being my co-host on Saturday. Looking forward to it. Back to you from Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I promise to have a voice by this weekend.
Well, thank you, Kathy, and I do hope you have a voice. I don't know that I could do it all either, but we'll get to that. Let me first go to... Let's go to Paul, WQ1I. And before we go to Paul, a rice box is a term for radio equipment made in Japan or the Orient, so everyone is correct. Now to the issue of the motorcycle. Let's go to Paul first, WQ1I. Would you like to address Larry's comment?
Thanks, Sarah. Thank you, Kathy. I don't know, Kathy, I'm kind of digging your voice like this. You got a little Demi Moore thing going on there. But, Larry, no, I don't have a bone to pick with Larry. I can put an end to this controversy, though, which seems to be going back and forth between the Harley guys and the Honda guys and their touring motorcycles. And I can just put an end to it all right now and point out that anybody who knows anything about motorcycles knows that the best touring machines all come from Germany. So we'll end that one right there. BMW, that's what we ride here. And by the way, folks, you guys are driving me crazy earlier. You don't drive motorcycles, I'm sorry. You ride them. WQ1I, Danbury, Connecticut.
Okay, thank you, Paul. Larry, would you like to make a comment? IBV, come aboard.
Well, I entirely agree with him. I entirely agree with him. For years, I rode a 1978 R80/7 with a Luftmeister fairing, and one night I hit a deer with it, and I sold it not long after that for a fraction of what I had paid for it, but I had a lot of good miles on it. Nowadays, the one that I get to ride most of the time, I don't even own, but it's, I think, an 84 Honda VF500 Interceptor, which for somebody my age, I'm going to be 60 this year, is kind of cramped. You're all crouched up in kind of a racing position. It's a lot of fun once I get on the bike, but boy, working out the cramps before before I throw the throttle to it is can sometimes take a few minutes. But it's a lot of fun to ride. But I miss my Beamer, my old Boxer. That was a great motorcycle. KL7IBV.
Thank you, Larry, for your comments. George, KW4LCB, would you like to make any comments, further comments on motorcycles for this evening?
Well, I don't know, Sarah. Grandpa told me the more you stir it, the worse it stinks. But what can I say? I think our next one, we're going to a trike, and I happen to notice the advertisement. Well, Katie told me about it. I'll have to research it. They've got a trike now with a sidecar. So, you know, maybe that's the best bang for the buck there. And they got a little old boot compartment and all that stuff for all your get-togethers there, you know, the things that you're going to need on this summit trip, you know. Like I said there earlier, Sarah, you know, antennas, a little piece of wire and some fishing line, you can do a whole lot with that there. I've been up on them mountains there, and Lord have mercy, I had so many states coming back to me, unbelievable. What a traffic jam that was. I was doing one of them backstrokes, so many people are coming back. So, can have fun under the right conditions. Who knows, maybe you could hit all them summits one night there. All depending on what side of the summit you fly your antenna on. Do the homework before you try it. No telling, you might even make it. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
V3MEW.
Okay, thank you, George, for those comments. Net recognizes Bill, V3MEW. Come aboard, Bill.
Yeah, good evening once again. V3MEW here. I didn't happen to notice the brand or the model, but something that showed up here last year, and I never saw them around town here until last year. And these are three-wheeled motorcycles, but the two wheels side-by-side are at the front, not the back. There's one wheel at the back and two at the front. And there was actually several of them came through town here on some sort of a tour. Last summer, they stopped at the Tim Hortons down the street there, and I briefly walked around them, and I didn't pay attention to them, to the model or the brand. But they were quite interesting, and they seemed to handle good when they pulled out on the road and took off down the road. So what they are, I have no idea. But it's quite interesting to see a three-wheeled motorcycle, and the two wheels are at the front instead of the back. V3MBW, back to that.
Okay. Thank you, Bill, for those comments. I'd like to ask Gordon, KY6V. Gordon, would you like to make some announcements here this evening before we wrap up our net?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'm going to have to ad-lib it, our Southern Duchess, but I'll try. Thank you, Sarah. Gordon, KY6V here. The main announcement, and it's put out every week, is that we are in need of NCS's, administration people, and hospitality people. We're very close to 12,000 overall membership here in South Cars. That includes both our HF side and our digital side. We need some help. We'd love to talk with you. If you think that you have an interest at all, just drop us an email at VOIP at VOIPnet.southcars.com. We'll get into conversation, answer any questions you have, tell you what we have available, and see if we can work out a deal. The only other announcement I have, Sarah, is that our code class, you know, the South Cars Outreach International Morse Code class, started on January 29th. It's been going very, very well. As I mentioned earlier, we have 25 enrolled participants, and they are just doing great. We are cracking, believe this or not, in less than 3 weeks, they're edging up on 20 words a minute. Two classes are left. That's this coming Sunday and Tuesday night, and then it'll be a wrap for 2012. This will be the second year that we have offered this program, and we're just having a heck of a lot of fun. So it's a little bit too late probably to enroll now, but I will say, let me buy a nickel for a second. I'll say that all of our classes for this code class, this code course, have been recorded, each one of them. All of the study material and what have you is posted on our website at www.voip.southcars.com. So even if it's a little late to enroll in the class now, all of the class material is there, and one could take it on their own if they desired to do so. Thank you for the opportunity, Sarah. KY6V, back to Net.
Thank you, Gordon, for ad-libbing it there and giving us a status report on the code class. Let me briefly mention here the schedule for this week. Tonight has been the TNT with myself, KC4TXG as your NCS, and George, KW4LCB, as our backup. Our Saturday is full of nets, beginning with the 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time net, where Bill, VE3MEW, will be the NCS, and Kathy, K6SUN, will be Bill's backup. For the 9 to 10 a.m. hour will be Scott, N5HUM, and backup will be Gordon, KY6Victor. The Eurasian net is Saturday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. UA3QGN will be the NCS for that net. The Pacific net from 1 to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the NCS will be K7KJO, and Kathy, K6SUN, will be his backup. Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is the Global Net. It will be a Valentine's special. Kathy will be, K6SUN will be the NCS, and I, Sarah, will be joining her. My call is KC4TXG. Sunday morning rag chew is Sunday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. K6SUN will be the NCS, and N5HUM will be the backup. And then we will join the Handy Ham Net Sunday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And Susie, WA6DKS, will be the NCS for that net. Is there anyone that would like to come aboard, any check-ins to say hello? Anyone that would like to make any comments on tonight's net, please come aboard now.
Hello, my Charlie Bravo.
Net recognizes George, KW4LCB. George, come aboard, please.
Well, thank you, Sarah. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo, George here in Orange City. There, outstanding net there, Sarah. I was able to read a little bit earlier, but good material that you passed on, you know, for preparation and all there. And so we just need the right tools to do what we said we're going to go out to do and get up there and do it and have fun there. Well, I will be joining you from Biloxi, Mississippi this Saturday and Sunday there, either to the computer or RF, coming back to a repeater in the Biloxi area or the New Orleans area, Scott's hometown, so to speak there. Mardi Gras parade will be starting there on a Sunday there, and since Monday's the President's Day, we'll have that day for driving back home. So I hope to give you a first-class, first-hand as to what might be going on, and it's about time to get down and boogie. KW4 Lima, Charlie Bravo.
Thank you, George, for those comments. I appreciate you being my backup here this evening. Hope you have a safe trip to the New Orleans and Biloxi area and have a safe return. And enjoy yourself while you're in the New Orleans area. This has been South Cars, the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. VOIP net schedules and general information may be found on the VOIP.southcars.com website. Your net control for this session has been Sarah. My call is KC4TXG, saying 73 and closing this VOIP session. Thank you for your participation. I hope everyone has a great Friday and a great weekend coming up. This net is now closed, and I will return the server to normal amateur radio use. Have a great weekend, everyone, and appreciate you being here.